building, Sister Schoonover magically made one appear. Thank you for that. And when the school was here, we had all kinds of stuff around here. I mean, there were supplies everywhere. And the school disappeared, and so did the supplies. I didn't raid the Sunday school teacher's cabinet. I should have gone there next, but I didn't. You're all probably thankful for that. I want to talk to you today a little bit about faith. Everybody say faith. This is it's kind of been a culmination of things with the Lord dealing with me over the past few months. Bishop Schoonover sent out a few months ago, or maybe a few weeks ago, I don't know. Time flies. I haven't worked in a few weeks, so I'm kind of disconnected from time. But he sent out a video via email, asked us to watch it. And then there was a conversation that Brother Heiner and I had in the car last Monday during a really spiritual moment of duck hunting. And this conversation evolved around faith and what it means to have faith, the difference between what we claim to be a faith healer or what we claim as people having faith, and does everyone have the gift of faith, and is faith active in all of us? And it really began to, we talked a lot about it. We talked about it for probably an hour, hour and a half, and it began something stirring in me because of this this teaching I'd watched, the conversation with him, and then he spoke on Wednesday night, and I started to see some of that stuff start to come out in his teaching. Some of the things he had reiterated to me, I heard start to come out while he was ministering on Wednesday night here. And here's what's starting to puzzle me about faith. Leave it to the world. They pollute everything. You want to talk about grace? It's absolutely polluted. They don't understand the definition of it. They mix it up with mercy. They don't even understand what mercy is. And everybody lives by grace. Everybody trusts in grace. And so nobody has to do anything morally right anymore because everybody's living under grace. And there's no reason for anyone to try to do right or try to live by any moral compass because they got grace. I can sleep around. I can live around. I can drink around. I can drug around. And I'm under grace. Back when I was a kid, going way back when, it used to be the doctrine of no one could pluck you out of the Father's hand. That was the big deal. You know, everybody came back with, well, nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. You know, we'd say, oh, you go to church? Well, why are you drunk? Well, no one can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Well, now they just say, well, I live under grace. It changes, but leave it to the world to pollute everything. Well, they haven't just stopped with grace or mercy or even salvation in general, but they've now polluted this word faith. And I've heard for a long time terms like, you know, it's time to live your faith out loud. How do you do that? How do you live your faith out loud? Are you supposed to shout that you have faith everywhere you go? Are you supposed to scream in people's face, I have faith? I think what they're referring to is their belief in Christ, I think. But now they've even contorted baptism to where now baptism is going public with your faith. And so there's all these contortions of faith and what faith is and what faith isn't and what it's being applied to. But Hebrews says it very plainly by the writer there. And he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's plain and simple what faith is. How do you live that out loud? How do you go public with that? I would contend with you today that by being in relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis, living a life in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, is living your faith out loud. Because to walk in the Spirit is to walk in faith. And to live by the Spirit, in the Spirit, is to live in faith. I'm not talking about trusting God when your car's on E to get you to the gas station. Not that kind of faith. Although that does take some faith sometimes. There's a little bit of ignorance involved there. Should have got gas before you left. Should have got gas before you parked your car. But the process of my life, of being led by the Spirit, I am walking in faith. Somebody wrote a song years ago. We sang it when I was a kid. It went something like, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Anybody remember that song? You don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Kind of like your gas. No wonder they wrote that song. But Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read it to you in a couple of versions today, and this is the only scripture we're going to, so don't freak out and think, oh my goodness, he's going to read a whole bunch of scriptures in two versions, and we're going to be here till 3 o'clock. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, the writer there says in the KJV, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? What I learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? I'm going to read that again. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So right off the bat, he's laid out some things here. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about our walk with God. And he's talking about those who minister among us. He said, you began in the Spirit. Now you think you're made perfect by the flesh. He that ministereth to you the Spirit, does he do it by the law or by the hearing of faith? And so you start to see this continuity here and this intertwining of the Spirit, a life of the Spirit and a life in faith. It seems as though using these two terms interchangeable here. He that ministers to you in the Spirit, does he do it by works of the flesh or does he do it by faith? Did you begin in the Spirit and now think you can continue on by faith? Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, everybody say, Abraham believed. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, everybody say, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. These are scriptures that this 9, 10, 11, 12. These are scriptures when we get into the Amplified Bible are going to just rip us a new one. But that no man is justified by the law on the side of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There's a whole other Bible study in verse 16, but we'll move on to 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Verse 21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. I think I'm going to forego the rest of those scriptures, and I'm going to jump to the Amplified Bible. The Kendrick should be able to help me out with that. You should be able to follow along so you're not lost anywhere. In the chapter 3, verse 1 says, oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. Poor, silly, thoughtless, unreflecting, and senseless. Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. He starts to put together this, he starts to paint this picture here that bewitched, cast a spell, those are satanic terms. Those are things that are taboo in the apostolic church. Those are things that we don't even talk about. And he's writing to the church saying, who got a hold of you? Who cast a spell on you? Who bewitched you? What's wrong with you? How did you get off track? Let me ask you this one question in verse 2. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? This is an important point and component right here. Did you receive the Holy Ghost as a result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? How did you receive the Holy Ghost? Look at your neighbor and ask him that. How did you receive the Holy Ghost? Valid question. How did you receive the Holy Ghost? Did somebody force it on you? Somebody pour it in your mouth with a cup? Did somebody tell you what to say? Did somebody put a list up on the PowerPoint that tells you these six things must you do and then you will have received the Holy Ghost? No, that did not happen. Did they invite you to the front and tell you repeat after me and you will have received the Holy Ghost? No, that's not what happened. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost was an act of faith. Somebody, when I was a little boy, pulled me off to the side. In fact, I was 4 years old. I was in the garage of a house that was the humble beginnings of the Home Missions Church that my parents were one to God in. Someone pulled me aside in an altar and said, young man, if you would simply yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost and begin to let those words and phrases that don't make any sense to your mind out of your belly and begin to just cut loose and let that begin to flow out of you, that is the Holy Ghost. That is God wanting to put his spirit inside you and evidence it by speaking in other tongues. Now, I was pretty stupid, naive as a four-year-old, but I said, okay. Woo! Faith that was inside of me began to well up, and I believed what someone was telling me. Remember that scripture, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Someone began to speak the word of faith into my ear. Woo! I feel faith beginning to build in the room right now. A few years later, somebody came to me and said, you know, son, you've done a lot of bad things at 7 years old. It's time to get baptized. We need you to go up there and get in that tank and get wet, and then you're good. No, that's not what they said. They said, Nick, the scripture says in John chapter 3 that unless a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, you've been born of the Spirit, son, but you need to be born of the water. And unless you will submit yourself to baptism in Jesus' name, where in those waters he's going to apply the blood of Jesus to your life and all your sins are going to be washed away and you're going to arise according to the scripture in newness of life and everything that you've done from the age of 7 to 0 is going to be washed away. I said, where do I sign up? And in faith, I leaped into an old cattle trough that was freezing cold. And I put my hand over my nose, grabbed my wrist with my other hand, and let somebody dunk me down in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And I came up in faith, believing and knowing that his word was true and that I had been delivered. That was faith. That's how I was saved. And Paul's going back to the church and saying, what in the world is wrong with you? You're wanting to vacillate back and forth between the law and the spirit. You're wanting someone to give you a list of things to do to be saved, when that's not how you obtained your salvation. It was by faith in Jesus Christ. It was your ability to step out in faith.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, we got to move on. I'm running out of time. Verse 3. Are you so foolish and senseless and so silly? Are you so silly that you begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit? Oh my goodness. I knew I wasn't get very far in this today. You take me. Oh my. Whew. If you've never done this before, maybe by the time I get done telling you, you'll want to do it. You go find you a raw, rotten, dirty sinner. And you set them down at a table. And you open up your Bible and you take them to John 3 and Acts 2. And you start telling them their need of salvation. And you start to get that look that Peter talked about, Acts 2:37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Right. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. That sinful past that you have, if you just get in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, the scripture says that all things would be made new when you come out of the water, and you're going to rise in newness of life, and you're going to be a new man. You're going to be brand new. And then when you come out of the water, if you just lift your hands and begin to worship God, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost all over you. And if you'll just yield your tongue in that moment and begin to let flow out of you what you're feeling, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, first of all, what happens is, they're dirty, rotten sinners. I say that with all due respect. But if you've gone through what some people have gone through today, I'll never, ever forget a man by the name of Joel, one of the first people ever baptized in Jesus' name in the Benton County Jail, in the back of a horse trough, in a pickup, in the Sallyport. We took it in there. Joel had a big old long blonde goatee, big long blonde hair. He was bad to the bone. He crawled in that tank. There were guards all around, wanted to make sure he didn't try to get out or try to strangle us. We got him in the tank. We baptized Joel in Jesus' name. So my dad went in on Tuesdays. I went in on Sundays. So dad went back in on Tuesday for church. And Joel come bouncing into the day room where we had church. And he said, you're never going to believe this. He said, I've been sleeping through the night since you baptized me on Sunday afternoon. He said, I haven't slept through the night in 20 years. I had so much shame and so much guilt. I'm telling you something. Joel's faith was at such a high in that moment of time. You could have told Joel the world was square, and he'd have believed you. Because he was full of faith. So what do you think happened when he said, Joel, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands right now. Begin to worship God. And when you feel the Holy Ghost come over you, just loose your tongue and begin to let it flow out of you. It wasn't 30 seconds and Joel was speaking in tongues. Why, you silly Christians? Did you start in faith? Did you start in the spirit? And now you wallowed over into the flesh. You weren't born in the flesh. You weren't born in a rigid system of you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And don't twist what I'm saying. Okay, move on. Wait, stop. Go back that. We got to talk about the end of that verse. Are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Can you pray for a minute? My faith is in you, Father. My trust is in you, Father. So church started in that garage. We went from the garage to a Legion Hall, where they had drunken parties and dances on Saturday night. We would push the beer kegs out of the way and then have church on Sunday morning with the stale of, or with the stench of stale alcohol and booze still in the building. You couldn't cover it with enough cans of Lysol. It was putrid. But everybody in that congregation had been in church less than 2 years at the time, except for Pastor Jimmy Swank, who was the man who won my pastor to God. And he had cut Pastor Wilcox loose and told him to come down there and just start preaching. He'd only been in church a couple of years. Most of my family hadn't been in church. My dad had only had the Holy Ghost for a few months. And nobody cared. The music was putrid. Drunk folks in a bar room wouldn't have thought it was good. But new converts full of faith didn't give a rip. And they danced their hearts out, ran the aisle, spoke in tongues, rolled on the floor, flipped backwards, ran outside the building, and told everybody they knew about Jesus. He said, that's how you start it. And now you're trying to have perfect church by gathering all the best musicians together and getting them on the platform and trying to have good music and trying to impress everybody that comes by. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the book. It's what he said. Are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Dependence on what? Dependence in every aspect of your life. You're trying to be a perfect Christian. How do you become a perfect Christian? How in the flesh do you become a perfect Christian? I'll show you how in a minute. All right, now we can move on. Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things and experienced so much, all for nothing, to no purpose? If it really is to no purpose and in vain, then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting and relying on the message that you heard? Verse 6. I'm going to try to move quickly, Brother Kendrick. I'll stop if I need to. Thus, Abraham believed in and adhered to and trusted and relied on God, and it was reckoned and placed to his account and credited as righteousness, as conformity to the divine will, in purpose, thought, and action. Basically, Abraham by faith was put in right standing with God. Verse 7. Know and understand that it is really the people who live by faith who are the true sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, declare righteous, put in right standing with himself, the Gentiles in consequence of faith, proclaim the gospel, foretelling the glad tidings of a Savior long beforehand to Abraham, and the promise saying, and you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, there's a whole other Bible sitting there. We're not going to get into it today. So then, those who are people of faith, everybody say people of faith, are blessed and made happy and favored by God as partners in fellowship with the believing and trusting Abraham. And all who depend on the law, who are seeking to be justified by obedience to the law of rituals, are under a curse. Everybody say curse. They're under a curse and doomed to disappointment and destruction. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed, a curse devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment, be everyone who does not continue to abide, live, and remain by all the precepts and commands written in the book of the law and to practice them. Now it is evident that no person is justified or declared righteous and brought into right standing with God through the law. For the scripture says, the man in right standing with God, the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith. And he who through and by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. But the law does not rest on faith, does not require faith, has nothing to do with faith. For itself says, he who does them, the things prescribed by the law, shall live by them, not by faith. For I'm going to read that again. But the law does not rest on faith. Everybody say, does not. it does not require faith, has nothing to do with faith. For it itself says, he who does them, the things prescribed by the law, shall live by them, not by faith. Now, I am a one God apostolic tongue talking preacher. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you do the same. But here is my concern. Paul wrote to the church. These were real life issues. These were real life problems. And I believe there's a parallel to the 21st century church and to basically us as Christians today. I'll do my best to relay it. And if you leave here confused, call me and I'll try to help you out. I understand we don't live under the law anymore. We were in the dispensation of grace. We don't live by a code. But I was having a conversation with a person about 2 weeks ago over the holidays. And he was sharing with me some things that he's battling with, struggling with right now. And he doesn't go to this church. He goes to a different church. And he's a quasi-family member of mine. But he made the statement. He said, yeah, you know, I'm growing weary of the rules. I said, you're what? And that by me again, I'm growing weary of the rules. I said, okay, well, explain that a little bit. What are you talking about, the rules? He says, well, there's, you know, in my church, there's a pretty clear, distinct set of rules that you're supposed to live by. And they're pretty much set forth every week or two by somebody, the pastor or one of his assistants from the pulpit. And everybody knows what the rules are. It's really clear for everybody. Now, that's an extreme case, okay? Let me step back and put it in perspective of Life Church Puyallup. There aren't a lot of proclaimed or written rules around here. We preach the doctrine. We preach holiness. We preach separation. It's very clear. It's very evident. We all believe that. We all walk in it. There's no guest here today. The trouble comes in with individuals when we look for a list of things we're not going to do. I'm going to be facetious in this list, so don't think these are real things, and I'll erase it when it's over so nobody walks in and says, you can't do that in that church? Let's say rule number one is no chewing gum in the sanctuary. And forgive my terrible handwriting. I'm going to go fast. Let's say rule number two is, we don't watch movies. Rule number three is, if you sneak one, make sure it's G. Remember, I'm being facetious. Read your Bible. That's a good one. I'm not being facetious. Pray. I'm not being facetious. Witness. Dress holy. That's enough. I keep my pen out. The problem with this, and everybody see that? You don't have to read, but everybody see it? You get the gist? The problem with this is, and I don't believe there's anywhere on the face of the earth, maybe I'm wrong, where something like this is published. But it's all published right here for most of us. I've oftentimes wondered. I've wondered aloud. I've questioned aloud to friends, to confidants. Why don't we see miracles in the apostolic church like we used to? I've gotten all kinds of answers. I know we see miracles, but if you've heard our elders talk, I'm not talking about elders that are sitting here in the room, I'm talking about elders who are 2-3 generations removed. If you read their books, listen to their children or grandchildren relay the stories that their grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents relayed to them. We don't see miracles today like they did then. Can we? Yes. Do we? I don't believe so. And if you call what happens today like it did back then, I'm sorry, I'm in disagreement, and we can fight about that after church. I just don't. The stories I hear, the things I read in the book, the blind eyes open, the lame walking, and it being an everyday occurrence, I don't see that today. Can we see it today? Yes. Brother Berglund inspired me last week. I left here. This was part of what it played into Brother Heiner and I's conversation on Monday morning, because I left here on fire last Sunday when he talked about the life of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus. When he talked about wherever Jesus went, someone would come to him and say, just go home, your son's made whole. Mike, don't you realize that's a dimension we're supposed to walk in? Why don't we walk in that dimension? Because we don't have the faith to. Why don't we have the faith to walk in that dimension? It all comes back to this right here. Oh, now you think I'm crazy. Paul said, you started in the spirit, now you're relying on the flesh. I told you a few stories of individuals and my own situation of the faith that I had to believe God for with regard to what people told me with regard to salvation, that it was true, and I acted on it, I experienced it for myself. You know, it'd be really hard for you to tell me today and convince me that the Holy Ghost isn't real, because I experienced it for myself. I have faith. Do you realize today that the same faith, the exact same faith that you had to exercise to crawl into a tub of water, sit down, maybe you put a silly robe on first, sit down and let somebody pronounce over you the name of Jesus. The same faith that you had in that moment to believe that when you came up, all your sins were washed away, is the same faith it takes to lay hands on the sick and believe that they're going to be recovered, or that they will recover and that they're going to be healed. The same faith that it takes when I open my mouth and I the same faith that I exercise when I lend myself to prayer in the Holy Ghost and I allow His presence to flow through me is the same faith it takes to speak to a withered hand and say, be made whole in Jesus' name. So why, since we've begun in faith, have we transitioned to the flesh? Why has our faith waned? Well, in our mind, we have our little list. And we get up in the morning. Oh, I forgot to add one on here. Go to church. We get up in the morning. Oh, I went to the church today. Didn't you come in the sanctuary? Done. We don't watch movies. I didn't watch any today. Not applicable. Didn't watch any today. Read your Bible. Oh, I did that. Pray. Oh, I did that. Witness. Yeah, I got that. Dress holy. You betcha. Go to church. Well, today wasn't a church day, but I went on Wednesday, so I'm done. Me and God are cool. Why, silly people, I quote, did you begin in the spirit and now you think you're made perfect by the flesh and by the law? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that what we're all living in pursuit of? Aren't you here today because you desire to be in right standing with God? If you don't want to be, then I don't understand why you're here. I want to be in right standing with God. But in the transition from faith, a life in the Spirit, to a list of rules in my mind that I conjure up, I cross over into a place of living by the law and living in the flesh. And I would tell you, as much as it'll shock you, this takes zero faith. There's no faith required in that. None. Get up every morning, go through my checklist. I'm in good shape. No faith. Get up every morning. Wait on the Lord. Spend some time with Him in the Word. Talk to Him. Do my best to live a life separated unto Him. Try to let the Holy Ghost be my guide every day. No, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to play that video on my phone. No, I'm not going to listen to that music through my headphones. No, I'm not going to let that word proceed out of my mouth. Let the Holy Ghost convict you. Let the Holy Ghost be your guide. And believe and know that that puts me in right standing with God. That's faith. Now, if I can go to that level of faith on a daily basis, I would propose to you today that that faith will begin to pour out of that little coffer of your life into all the other little pots of life. And you're going to find yourself all over again baptized with that new convert zeal. You'd be walking around here laying hands on people that are sick. People are going to be like, what's wrong with him? Oh, just man of faith. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hikarani araburu maharane ashi arabakaye. My wife can come, I'm finished. I'm not saying this is easy. I lived on the other side of this for about 24 years. 24 years. Where I felt good about my relationship with God when I was living by the rules and lived under shame and guilt when I wasn't. And that became the gauge and the guide by whether or not I was in right standing with God. It had nothing to do with my relationship with God. I'm confessing that to you today. 24 years, I was the assistant pastor of a church. And gauged my relationship with God, whether I was doing right or wrong. And I knew what the rules were. I knew what the expectations were of me. And whether or not I met them or not depended on how I felt when I came to the house of God. Whether I believed God could use me or whether I should just shy back and let someone else have the mic today because, you know, I snuck a PG this week. I'm just being real. So I know how hard it is to put myself in a position spiritually where I say, God, I'm trying to wash myself of all that, every preconceived idea I have of you and what you want and expect of me. And I want to be led by your spirit. I want your conviction. I want your conviction to rule my life. Not men's convictions, not what man says I should or shouldn't do, but I want your convictions to run my life. You know how many sideways glances I got from friends? Whew, about to go real deep here. When my wife and I got married, we decided that we would exchange rings, wedding rings. I still wear one. And I had friends, people I considered close friends, people I had grown up with, who literally told me to my face, in my mind, you backslid. I couldn't believe it. I was devastated. What? You backslid. You put that ring on your finger, you backslid. You know how hard mentally that was for me to wrestle with? What's right? What's wrong? Friend, you got to fall in love with Jesus. And you got to find a place of living in the Spirit and in Holy Ghost convictions. And let the faith that saved you, let the grace that you let be activated in your life in the moment of time you said, Jesus, I surrender all. And he filled you with the Holy Ghost and washed your sins away. And that cloud you were walking on when you stepped out of the baptistry and you walked into newness of life, and nobody could squelch your zeal and nobody could shut you up, and you wanted to tell everybody you knew about Jesus. Let that faith come alive in your spirit again. There isn't anything or anybody that can hold you back with that kind of faith. Will you stand and just talk to the Lord? Talk to him from your own situation, from your own heart. Jesus. 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 Let the faith that was once birthed in me, Father, the faith in me that reached out to believe in the very beginning, the first few steps of my walk with you, Father, let that faith be rekindled in me today. Let me find that place of restoration. Restore my faith today, Father. Restore my faith today, Father, in the name of Jesus. The faith to believe you for anything. The faith to believe you for the impossible. Let that faith be restored in me today, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let Holy Ghost conviction rule and reign in my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As we sing and worship him today, if you feel like it, the altar's open, you can come and talk to the Lord. Find that faith. Let that faith be stirred up in you again. Faith to believe him for the impossible. Faith to believe him for things in your own life right now. Some incredible things have happened in the past few months in this congregation. The Lord has done amazing things. He's worked amazing miracles, and it's due to your faith. Would you let that faith be stirred up in you again today? Talk to him. I surrender.
Jesus,
I surrender.